been my high honor to be here this week, and I've truly been refreshed. You have made it feel as though I've come home, even though I had never been here to preach. I was here some, I guess, would have been at least 25 years ago in what I believe I remember being a paths meeting. This first opportunity I've had to enjoy meeting with you on this scale, and I am so thankful for all your kindnesses shown to me and to my wife, who is able to be back with me tonight. I'm glad she could make the trip over. The Lord, while my mother's health was declining, did several unique and very sweet, unusual things for us. One of those things was that without us even knowing, Shannon Smith, who is the lady sitting with my wife, the Lord brought her our way, and she sat with my mother, stayed with my mother. My mother fell in love with her. I was a little envious. I felt as though she was taking a little bit of mama's loving from me. But I guess mother had enough to spread it around. But mother really did fall in love with Sister Shannon. She's a good Christian lady, and God used her in a great way. And she became dear to our family. Tonight, she said she wanted to ride over with us. And so we were thrilled that the Lord worked that out. And then tonight, what a special treat to be in meeting with Brother Jim, Sister Carol Burns. I'm glad the Lord crossed our path many, many years ago, and I was bettered for it. I thank God for the way God's used Brother Jim Burns in a powerful way to herald forth the Lord Jesus Christ in song, and I'm grateful for that. Tonight, I'm a little bit sad. This is my final opportunity to be with you. I'm fired after tonight, and so I'll have to go my way. I have felt so much at home here that if I lived anywhere within a good driving distance of this church in Rutherfordton, is that right? You'd have to get used to me. I'm afraid that I'd beg God to let me be a part of this place. I'm glad for what God's doing here with you. And I can assure you that as God's my helper, I'm asking him to help me to not forget to be praying for you. I need your prayers. If you have a prayer list, please place me and my family and my efforts to minister on your prayer list, and then we'll co-labor together, Lord willing, until Jesus comes. Now please take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Your pastor did a good job last night encouraging the men to be mindful of Valentine's Day today. And I have to admit that wasn't the first time that the Lord had helped me to know about it. We were on our way over here on Monday evening, and my wife said, "Now, Tony, you remember you need to wear a red tie on Thursday evening. Don't wear one prior to Thursday evening." And so I said, "Okay." And I don't know, probably 3 to 5 miles down the road, I had to break the silence and ask the question, "Exactly why?" And she said, "Well, it's Valentine's Day." Now, that was my first hint that I needed to remember something of that magnitude. And so I had a little advance warning, my brother, that I appreciate. I love my wife. I had the privilege to marry my sweetheart. She's remained my sweetheart. And we're not only husband and wife, but I'm glad we are best friends. I'd rather be, and I don't want to be offensive to any good man of God in this building, but I'd rather be with my wife. I'd rather spend the day with my wife than with many, many of my preacher friends. I don't know of anybody that I'd rather spend time with. I just, I enjoy her company so much, and I'm thankful God put us together. We're blessed tonight as well to have a couple from our church, Harvey and Sarah McCall. They're sitting right back here. Brother Harvey, would you stand up? Go ahead and stand up, Brother Harvey. And Sister Sarah, do you want to stand by his side? You don't want to do that. These are the youngest couple in our church. In the seniors department, anyway. But they're such a joy to be around. And I would feel really honored as if maybe they drove all the way over here to hear me preach. But I found out that they have family over here somewhere. So that makes all the difference in the world. Matthew chapter number 4. I'll begin reading in verse 12. Now when Jesus has heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As best as I can discern from this passage of Scripture, these areas of Zebulun and Naphtali, these areas were given to us as a microcosm of the overall view of humanity. We find here that those who were there sat in darkness. This is the plight of man ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Man knows what it is to sit in darkness. Man struggles without God in his life, and he has no illumination. And so he sits as one who is captured by the darkness. We should know something about this. In fact, I'm beginning to believe that here in America, we have found ourselves knowing much more of this than we ever dreamed we would at this point in time. The Supreme Court some time back decided that same-sex marriage was to be ruled as all right with America, all right in our legal system. And when they made this ruling, it was Senator Ted Cruz at the time there in Texas who declared that this is the darkest 24-hour period in America's history. I'm convinced that he was spot on. I believe that once that door opened in America, that now we are seeing an unleashing of the darkness that we never dreamed would come upon us. Even Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, when the decision was handed down, sent a message across the waters to our president
And he said, now who is the godless nation? Sad thing when even atheists have to be used to chastise us here in America. I say to you that our days are dark. As I look around and I see how diseased we are with sin, and how that sin lays upon sin, how that our nation has fallen to all-time lows concerning any kind of moral behaviors. You have to admit that darkness seems to permeate our society. But I'm glad I find out something here about the nature of my God. It's amazing how that he can turn the darkness around. The Bible says that the people which sat in darkness all of a sudden saw great light. The Lord Jesus Christ begins to illuminate. He steps right into the darkness that we fear, and he has no fear at all. He completely eradicates the darkness. He is the illuminator and steps into that situation in a beautiful way. For a few moments, I want to try to do something I'm not capable of. I want to try to preach tonight on the fact that my God does some of his greatest work in the dark. I find this being a common thread all the way through my Bible. That it seems like the darker it gets, the more that the Lord takes that as an opportunity to step into that situation and turn darkness into light. Well, when you look all the way back to Genesis, in chapter number 1, all that we know about creation, the Bible seems to indicate that there was really nothing, and it was void and without form. The Bible said that darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God Almighty stepped out onto nothing, into nothing. Merely opened his mouth and began to utter. And all he had to say was, let there be light. And the Bible said there was light. So much light that God Almighty had to begin to draw a definition between light and darkness. It would have just stayed lit all the time had he not divided it. Now, I'm telling you, that's a marvelous thing, that God is such a great God that he can step out into total darkness, in total disarray, and say, let there be light, and boom, the light comes on. Hey, you don't know anybody else who can do that. You've never tried that, I'm sure. God Almighty does some of his greatest work in the dark. It's as though everything seems to say there's no hope here. But God Almighty steps in, and all of a sudden we're lifted with hope because of his illuminating power. Now, America may be in a dark place tonight, and she sure is. But I'm glad my God's able to step right in the middle of it and bring about a spiritual awakening. If I didn't believe that, I'd pack up my Bible and go to the house. I believe God's still God, can do whatever God wants to do. I don't believe he's bound by anybody or any time restrictions. If God were to see fit to show us mercy again in America, all of a sudden these pews would begin to be filled, and we'd feel that rustling in the mulberry tree all across America. Back when I was called into the ministry, God was moving across our land, doing some great things. He brought light into darkness. And we're in bad shape tonight in this country, really bad shape. She's not just twilight, she's dark. But I just believe my God does some of his best work in the dark. And it could be that you're here tonight. If you shrink it on down, way down from a national level and get it all the way into your little home. And it may be dark at your house. May be dark in your personal world. Could be that things have come in and turned out the light. Could be that you've been overcome. Maybe you're disoriented. Maybe you feel as though you've fallen in a pit, or somebody just flipped off the lights and you can't seem to get any relief. I'm telling you, if you know the God of my Bible, if you know the God of glory, he's able to step right into your world and do some of the greatest work in the darkness. In the darkness. You can rely on him tonight. It's not just in the book of Genesis, but in Exodus, when you get to the next book, we see a large group of people, those Israelites. They're trying to get away from a wicked Pharaoh. God's had to give him a little prompting. He didn't want to let them go, but God did a little arm twisting. And so here they go, out through the desert floor. But then all of a sudden that wicked heart begins to resurrect in Pharaoh. And he decides he wants to go down there and destroy them while they're trying to exit. So he gets his best chariots ready. His greatest steeds. Brings all of his military might. Starts chasing them through the desert floor. Now it's a difficult thing to move that many people. And sometimes it's slow going when grandma's with you and grandpa and all the little ones round about, and they're trying to move them across the desert floor and trying to get away from him. The only thing that they could have as an advantage is that maybe if they could continue to move, but they can't because it gets dark. That darkness comes into their world and begins to slow them up and stop them. I can hear the leaders of all those Israelites saying, now what are we going to do? They're still pursuing. But we can't go because it's dark out here. God Almighty recognized they had a little problem. And he does some of his best work in the dark. He decided to strike a divine match and lit a cloud. Turned it into a continuous pillar there in the sky, just hanging there, suspended, burning with such fervency that it's like having street lights while they travel. They can go right on through the desert floor. Gets a little chilly out there too at night, but not when it's a fire right up over your head. And all the families are warm and they're well lit. Wow. Because God does some of his best work in the dark. Yes. Some of you, when it started getting twilight at your house, you became so afraid that you needed Valium. You decided, well, I don't know, maybe God's not coming this time. But the Lord many times waits until it's really dark. He's well able to handle the situation. He handled it for them. He can handle it for you. God does some of his best work in the dark, as he did for those Israelites in the desert. I'm thinking of another one right now. When I get over to the book of Jonah, I'm telling you, it got pretty dark for him now. He cut up a little old fit, decided he didn't want to preach anymore. Didn't want to be obedient to God, was disobedient to the call of God. Said, I don't want to go down there to them, because if I preach to them, God will show them grace. And I don't want them to have any grace. They've been killing my family members. They're ruthless, bloodthirsty. I don't want them to live. So I'm not going to go down there and preach to them. And he thought he had it made. You know, a lot of times your surroundings and your circumstances, they can be absolutely diametrically opposed to what the truth is. Did you notice he had enough money in his pocket to pay the fare? Yeah. You know what that means to a charismatic, don't you? That means I'm under the blessings of God when I've got some money. He's standing there looking, now how far can I travel? I'm loaded. I've got money. God must be on my side. Till all of a sudden he gets out there on that ship. It's not looking so good out there now. And all of a sudden God reveals that he's the problem. They cast him over. Now, I've never been in the depths of the sea. I don't even like the thoughts of going down in a submarine. But I'm telling you, I'd say she's pretty dark down there. You may have some lights in a submarine, but you're not going to find a whale that has a light in his belly. I'm telling you, that man was spending some dark hours down there. Part of the torment of that whale's belly, that specially prepared whale's belly, was the fact that it's dark in there. I mean, he's feeling his way around, and the rib cage feels like iron bars. He's jostling with every move of that large prepared fish. And it got awful dark down in there. Somewhere down in there, God Almighty started doing some of his best work. All of a sudden, without it ever being recorded, that God preached a message. All of a sudden, Jonah begins to hear a message. Oh, my, I believe I need to repent. And he begins to repent down there because God is doing his best work in the dark. Well, I'm telling you, a lot of us be in bad shape along the way if God didn't let a little darkness come every now and then. Sometimes that darkness that you think is a plague from the devil and you think that's the work of the devil, that may be the hand of God. God may be getting you where you need to be. About the time he decided to rest his knees on the guts of that whale and begin to cry out and blubber like a little boy and say, dear God, please forgive me. I'll be glad to go down there and preach, but I can't get out of here. God does some of his best work in the dark. Raised that big old fish from the bottom of the depths of the sea, brought him out there, and deposited Jonah out on dry land. And he had good energy when he got out. He was able to run all the way to his tour of duty. I'm just telling you, God does some wonderful things in the dark. When it gets dark down at your place, when it gets dark in your life, don't think it's the end of the world. It may be the beginning. God may be getting ready to do something most unusual because he does much of his best work in the dark. The light steps in. I tell you, when you get to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find a real dark time. The Bible seems to give us good understanding of that crucifixion. The Bible says that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, the darkness fell upon the earth. Right about the time that it becomes apparent that Jesus is dying on the cross. I'm imagining now there's a pre-party in hell. And that every one of them down there thinking, oh, this is wonderful. We've got him now. Look at him. He's hanging in agony. And it's getting dark. It's so dark now because God the Father's turned his back on that whole scene. And when he did, the lights went out. Those are some real dark hours. The cruelty that man inflicted upon the darling Lamb of God in those hours is something that we can't even get into words. Can't scarcely get it into our imaginations and our minds. The cruelty of that moment. How dark it was at Calvary. But it's getting darker. They're going to take him down, his lifeless body, off of that cross. And they're going to go out there to the cemetery. They're going to deposit his body, that wonderful body that was broken for us.
They're going to deposit his body in that tomb. And then they're going to roll a stone over it, and by decree, they're going to seal it round about, which means they've encapsulated the Savior now in darkness. Total darkness. Not a light inside, not even the small flicker of a candle. Dark inside. And in hell, the party's full blown. And all of the imps of hell are taking their cues from Lucifer. And they're all rejoicing because the Lamb of God lays in the tomb, they think. But God Almighty does some of his best work in the dark. And while they think he's there in that tomb, that high priestly work's beginning to go on.
Amen.
And he's not just taking any blood, he's taking his own blood. Heading there to the mercy seat with it. And man can't even see it, nor any of the devils. But right in the midst of that darkness, he's doing some of his greatest work. And if you're born again tonight, you can thank God he was. He was carrying that blood, that only acceptable blood. And he was doing some of his greatest work right in the dark. Man knew nothing about it. But in about 3 days, he said, I'll give him a little view. And all the party's still going on. And about that time, someone begins to utter, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Looks like he's coming up out of the grave. And out of that darkness. Because God's not going to be confined. Not going to put him in a box nor a tomb. Not going to keep him in darkness. He is light. He comes stepping up out of there because my God does some of his greatest work in the dark. In the dark. Stepped right out of that darkness. And by the way, I'm in him and he's in me. I'm resting with him in the heavenlies tonight. If the darkness couldn't hold him, it can't hold me either. I'm telling you, my God does some of his greatest work in the dark. You leave from the Gospels and you get over to Paul's epistles. And we can't help but notice there's a common thread running through them. That this old thing we call this world is just getting darker and darker and darker. I don't really know or care who's in or going to be in the White House. And they're going to try to keep the light on as long as they can. But she's getting darker and darker and darker. And then in a little while, it's going to get darker yet. God Almighty is going to look over to the sun and he's going to say, go get them. And about that time, God's going to snatch the church and the Holy Ghost out of this thing. And darkness will permeate it. But while the darkness is greatest here on earth, God's going to be working some of his greatest work. And we're going to be flying like birds. Snatching us right out of this thing. I'm talking about in a twinkling of an eye. My God does some of his best work in the dark. Going to take us right out of here. And while we enjoy him in the light, this earth just keeps getting worse and worse They thought it couldn't get worse. They thought it was as bad as it could ever get. They're all crying out, Washington, D.C., fix it. The man can't fix it. It plunges into severe darkness in that latter part of that tribulation. Men are crying out, wishing they could die, hoping for death. Death will not accommodate, not be their friend. Darkness continues to just pummel them over and over. But all of those folks who thought God didn't really exist, they're finding out God still does some of his best work in the dark. You see, he's never been afraid of the dark.
Amen, God. Amen, preacher. Yeah. Yeah.
Dark may have scared you, but he's never been afraid of the dark. And here on earth, it gets to its lowest ebb. And about that time, he looks over at all of us, and he says, get on your horse. We're going to take a little ride down to Megiddo.
Yeah.
He said, now you're just going to observe.
Yes, sir. Oh,
yeah. You're not going to have to break a sweat. I'll let you watch. And so he leads us to Megiddo.
Yeah.
And all of the wicked nations
right.
are going to try to stop him.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he will be victor over them all. And then about the time they unwillingly surrender, he says, all right, I'm going to set up a little place over here in Jerusalem. I'm going to sit over here on this throne for about 1,000 years. Where would you like to be stationed? You want to rule Rutherfordton?
That's all right, Doc. Why, yes.
Would you like to rule Hendersonville?
Amen.
Hallelujah! I'm telling you, when it looks so hopeless, as though it's all over, we have a God who is greater than any darkness. In fact, he does some of his best work in the dark. So for 1,000 years, we'll enjoy. Then at the close of that 1,000 years, can you believe there's still a devil with any guts left? But he is. Ruthless rascal. One last big rebellion. He tries again against the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that'd be a dark day. Sad way to close out 1,000 years. But it's not too tough for Jesus. At the close of that day, when all of them rebel against him, at the close of that day, in the midst of that darkness, Jesus Christ is going to overthrow the devil. He's going to chain that rascal. He's going to cast him into the pit. And all of us are going to say, well, glory to God. And rejoice. Because our God does some of his greatest work in the dark. You say, preacher, are you sure of this? Well, I'm sure because my Bible tells me so. But I've also experienced this side of God. Now, I don't know how many of you are here tonight that are born again, but I know that everyone that is, you recognized that you were in a real dark place one day. Remember how dark that was? I do. Oh, my. It's like that darkness grabbed hold of me. It's like it was just consuming me. All of that wickedness. I didn't really know I was that bad. Till the Holy Ghost began to show me. And I was in the midst of perverted darkness. In fact, if the Lord had not done something, I'd have walked right in the steps of my biological father. I'd have been a drunkard, a fighter, a rambler, a womanizer, everything else you can think of. I may have even spent time with him in prison together. He did time. I may have shared a cell with him. Truth is, before it was over, I would have shared hell with him. And I didn't really think that it was all that bad. But right in the midst of my darkness, God Almighty stepped into a little old pulpit, got into my adopted daddy's preaching, and brought the mail to me and turned the light on. All of my sin, all of my wickedness. Boy, he does a good work right in the middle of the dark. You fumble around in the dark, and I fumble around in the dark. My God doesn't stumble once in the dark. He commands the dark. Does some of his greatest work. And while I was in that worst midnight of sorrow, that midnight of sadness and sin, Jesus Christ stepped right in the middle of it and brought light to those who sat in darkness. Me! Brought light! And you say, preacher, you just had some kind of little emotional moment. There was just a little something maybe happened to you. Maybe you turned your course around. And all of that. I'm telling you, I'm an old man now. That happened when I was a teenager. Amen. He made a new creature out of me. Did some of his best work right in my darkest moment. And made me a child of the King. Hallelujah. But it's not over yet. Oh no, he's going to keep on. I've been through some dark times since I've been saved. I can remember some moments in a certain event in my life. Critical mass. I can remember when every morning I would be so exhausted because I hadn't been able to sleep. And I'd work my way down to our little camper. And I'd get in that camper before daylight. I'd close that door behind me. And I'd drop in the floor. And I'd say, dear God, don't let it end like this. Please. Don't let it end like this. This darkness is consuming me. It's killing me. I don't want this to be what is the final word over your preacher. Please, please. And had those moments when, like others, I said, wish I'd never been born. Despaired of living. Now that's dark. Despaired of living. Laying there and just wallowing on my face. And, oh, God, I can't take this darkness. I can't take it. Please, Lord. Please help. Now here I am on Valentine's night.
Yeah, though. Yeah, though.
Because God does some of his best work in the dark.
Amen. Yeah.
And tonight, you'll have better preachers come through here, but you're never going to have anybody that enjoys what he's doing any more than I do.
I'm telling you, in your worst nightmare, I've experienced him. He's able to do his greatest work when you are in complete darkness. Somehow, some way, he'll cause that flower to bloom right out of a trash heap. It's not over yet. I'm not gone yet. And I may not get to go out of here in the rapture. I'd love to. I'd love to leave from here in the rapture. I'd like to cheat the grave. I'd like to cheat the mortician. I'd love to leave in the rapture, but I may not get to. Tonight could be the time when I die. But if it is, I watched my daddy, my adopted daddy. I watched him when they told him he had cancer and you just have a few short days to live. Now that's dark. I watched him look at the doctor and begin to console the doctor. The doctor had a tear running down his cheek. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'd tell you if you were my daddy. And I could tell he just had sympathy for him and for us. We were all standing in there with him. And my daddy begins to look at him and said, Doc, looks like this is hitting you hard. He said, this day was prepared for a long time ago. He said, Jesus Christ is going to make this all right. My daddy, in a little while, just a few days after that, my daddy pillowed his head in death. But he didn't do it by himself. Because my God does some of his best work in the dark. It was about as best as I can figure. Somewhere around 3:30 or so in the morning when my mama left from here a few days ago now. In the darkness of night, no fanfare in the world. And some people, they fear death so much. My mama just laid there like a little child. And in the arms of Jesus, God Almighty did some of his best work in the dark. I don't believe he dispatched an angel. I believe he took care of it himself. I believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For those who are born again. And I may face death. I may have to get to where I'm searching for that crossing on that river. But I'm not going by myself. I'm not going by myself. I told my son when he was going through one of the worst times in his life, I said, son, I don't know what else to tell you except this. I love you with everything in my body and everything in my soul. And I'm telling you, whatever you're getting ready to go through, as best as I can, I'm going to go through with it with you. Now, I couldn't go every step of the way with him because I'm not God. But my God told me the same thing.
Amen. I got it, Doc. I got it. Amen.
He looked at me and he said, I'll never forsake thee.
Amen, preacher.
I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go through this thing with you. And if you get down there to death's door, you're right. Not even going to be a good shot. He's going to pluck the stinger early. Everything's all right. Because my God does some of his best work in the dark. In the dark. And when everybody else stands around and say, oh, pitiful old soul. Oh, look at him. He's dying. Don't you believe it? Because I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to experience more life in him than I've ever known. Because my God has proven to me. He's proven to me that he does some of his best work in the dark. Amen.
in the dark. You may be afraid of it, but he's not. Tonight you can trust him. You can trust him. That which paralyzes man only puts your God in gear.
Yes, sir. Oh, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Glory be to God. Please stand. I'm through preaching. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Musicians are coming. My Heavenly Father, I beg tonight that as these altars are open, I thank you for a place where it's not a shame or reproach for us to run to the feet of Jesus. And tonight I want to be one of the first to bow and say, dear God in heaven, help me, help me. I don't want my children, my grandbabies, I don't want my wife to see me shuddering and in fear of the dark places in this world. Because it's there where you'll do some of your greatest work. Help us, Lord, please help us. Make it real to us. Forgive us for our failures. Help us to trust you as we ought and as we'd be glad we did when we see you. In Jesus' name. Sing, brother, if you would, please. Heads are still bowed. Altars are open. If you have a need tonight, speak to the Lord about it tonight. How dark is it at your house? How dark is it at your place? That's right. That's right. Find your place to pray. He's a great God tonight. How long has it been since you found a little place and said, Lord, I just want you to know I'm glad I can trust you. I'm glad I can trust you. Lord, help me to honor you. When it gets dark in my world, help me to honor you. Maybe you're here tonight. Never been born again. Dark in your world, isn't it? Dark in your world. It really is. But it's not too dark for God to do something great. He can save you tonight. Come to Jesus. Daddy, I know it can get awful dark in your world. Mama, it can get so dark. God sent me here tonight to tell you that when you're exhausted in that darkness, God still has a divine design. He's not a bit afraid of it. He can do great things in that darkness. Would please come right ahead while these are praying. I want to pray too. Love you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. There's not enough darkness to put out the light. It can't be extinguished by man's sinful plight. No.
Face the darkness with eyes wide open.
Put out the light.
Oh, yes.
It can't
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a word. What a word. What a fitting message to end the meeting on. Now God's opened our eyes this week to a number of things. He very well may have opened our eyes tonight to something that's in front of us, and we're not there yet. But hallelujah, you and I can go through here with our eyes wide open, whether it's the dark or the light, whether it's death or my. Blessed be the name of our God. Don't you appreciate the preaching of the Word of God? He'll be back. It won't be 25 years before he's back either, amen. I appreciate God's man just being faithful to come alongside of us and push us to God and to go after God with us, amen. You be praying for him, his family, over in May, right after Mother's Day. Brother Tony has a fellowship meeting several days, day services and night. Seems like I'm always off in a meeting or something other, but we'll mention that. But I want to encourage you to speak to this dear man of God. Thank him for coming and laboring. What we've heard this week just didn't come out of a book somewhere, amen. Came out of the book, I know, but it didn't come out of a book somewhere. I appreciate God's faithfulness, amen. I challenge you to go a-praying. Ask God to keep your eyes open. And if the Lord allows us to see the Lord's day, come in here eyes wide open. Full steam ahead. Father, saying thank you seems so, so inadequate. But Lord, until you give me some better words, I'll just stick with it. We say thank you for your presence. Thank you for every word you've sent from your servant. Bless your holy, righteous name. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And in that name we pray. Amen and amen. Glad to see you. Shake hands as you go.